Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome back. Today I'll be talking to you guys about platelets, because I have to deal with platelets every time I go and get my chemo. They have to check my platelets and make sure they're at where they're supposed to be at. So if your platelets are off, you can't get your chemo. If it's too high, you can't get your chemo. So it has to be just right to be able to get your chemo, because that's very important. Platelets is like a disorder, you know, for people that, you know, have serious complex of any, you know, type of disease. It causes abnormal bleeding when you get them, when your platelets and stuff is off, bruising, you know, comes from, you know, when your platelet count is very low. I get those when my platelets is low. I notice the bruising, like you don't bump yourself, you know, bumped up against something and got like a purple bruise or something. That's how I could tell when my platelets is off. It's a different bruise from when I get a bruise from the lupus reaction or something like that. You know, that's where, you know, I always say to document everything that happens, you know, to your body. You know, video it, take pictures, you know, measure it, see, does it get bigger, you know, watch it, you know, over time. And, you know, as you begin to do these things, you will begin to notice what's what. So when you talk to your doctors and stuff, and you show them this, and, you know, they can, most doctors look at it and tell you, because if by the time you go to see them, if it's gone, you still have documentation, so they can see what you're talking about. It's very important to document anything that's happening with your body, like side effects from new medication, or if you eat something and you're on a new medication and something happened. Excuse me. And something, you know, something happened, then you document this, you know, what do you eat, you know, because lately I have been breaking back out with the rash and everything, and I know where it's coming from. It's not from nothing I have ate. It's that I've been under a little stress, because I was stressed out trying to figure out, you know, I hadn't got a chance to see my neurologist to find out what happened with the CT scan. But now that I went to go see him on Friday, so is we at the same spot. We're just going to stay on the medication that he got me on, the pills that I take at 5 o'clock. We're going to do the pills for a whole year and see, you know, how, you know, is it something that I'm going to have to continue to do. Excuse me. And I am lack of sleep. I'm so sorry. I haven't been able to sleep lately because I was worried about that. And that's why I started back breaking out with the rash and stuff, because of the stress. And I'm going to try to get some sleep. But platelets, it is like a autoimmune disease. You know, it messes with your system. It attacks the blood platelets, you know, and the antibodies. And you have to have those antibodies in your body to help, you know, fight off any unwanted diseases and stuff. But my antibodies in my body, no matter what pills or whatever they give me, it attacks my body. And it's just to the point where I can't take a lot of medication that normally help people, but it doesn't help me. And meeting the neurologist on Friday, he was saying that with my lupus SLE, the new medication that they do have out for people for the lupus and the rheumatoid arthritis and the scleroderma and all those autoimmunes that I have, it's not going to work for me because mine is so far gone to the point where the medicine wouldn't help me. So yeah, that's why I have so many surgeries for joint pain, to stop the pain. It's that I don't be wanting to have this surgery, but I want the pain to go away, because when joint pain gets so severe, it hurts 24/7, and it's a different type of hurting pain. It's, to me, with me, it's a numb and dull tingling pain at times. Sometimes it's throbbing. Sometimes I can't, if I move a certain way, it's like my body get locked in that position, and I have to wait sometimes anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes before I can even be able to relax and, you know, be able to move again. So it's just that the antibody that I get, the chemo that I get, it helps slowing down the rheumatoid arthritis and stuff, but it's not to the point where it's going to cure it. There's no cure for what I have. So I have came to terms with that years ago. But it just, sometimes it's overwhelming to know, you know, that you got all this going on with your body and there's nothing, nobody can do. You know, the medicine that they're coming out with now that's supposed to help, you know, but once, hopefully someone would come up with a medication that would help a person like me that is so severe, to maybe not the cure, but just actually help it slow it down. Like now, with the pulmonary fibrosis, my pulmonary fibrosis is to the point where that I'm constantly on oxygen at night and mostly sometime during the day. It depends on what I'm doing. So it's very nerve-wracking, you know, to have to go through all that. And then, like I said, I have to make sure I document any and everything that happens, you know. And, you know, there are signs, you know, that you can look for, easy bruising, bleeding, skin, you know. My skin is excess of bleeding, but it doesn't bleed heavily. Some people get heavily bleeding. Some people get bleeding in the brain. You know, especially when their platelets are too high or too low, that can happen. You know, but you know, what best thing to do is talk to your doctors about treatments and you know, different options that they can, you know, help you with. Schedule a monthly, you know, and follow up on your care. Reduce the risk of bleeding is by, you know, making sure that you taking care of yourself. If you're feeling tired and weak, 'cause a lot of times when I notice I get those bruises, I am tired and I'm a little weak and I don't have energy. So I know my body is beginning to shut down. So I know when I start looking, searching my body, I start seeing the bruises and stuff. And then I know, okay, I call my oncologist and I tell him, okay, I'm getting these bruises. And I think my platelets are low. And he was like, okay, come in right now. We can run some blood tests and see where your platelets are at. And when my platelets are low, they give me medication, give me platelets to build it back up, because they can give you platelets to help with that. But the best thing is to have a healthy diet along with, you know, everything, you know, try to do your physical exercise if you can, in a, you know, safe exercises, and pay attention to your psychological well-being, because sometimes, like I said, it can be overwhelming. You know, you can get, you know, frustrated and get depressed and all that, but you need to be on top of those things. And like I said, you know, I knew why I started back out breaking out, because I was stressed about the MRI. But like I said, there's nothing they can do, because the way is where it's set up under the base of my skull, and that's where the spinal cord and everything is at. On one side of the spinal cord is clear, and on the other side is where the front of my neck is pinching up against the nerve. And like I said, that's in a dangerous spot, and there's no doctor gonna even think about touching it. So he put me on the medication for to help release some of the pressure, and hopefully that it will gradually open back up. If it doesn't open back up, like I said, I most likely be on this medication for the rest of my life, you know, because it is helping. I notice, because I don't have those sharp shooting pain as much as I was having them, and I don't have the numbness in my feet to the front when I'm walking, and also I don't feel my feet and I fall flat on my face or I trip, you know. So I have noticed that part is not as bad as it used to be, because it had got so bad to the point where I was having the numbness in my feeling my feet is maybe 2 or 3 times a day, and that was nerve-wracking, because like I said, when I fell down my staircase, my feet went numb, and I thought I made the step, didn't even hit the step, bypassed the step and went flying down the stairs. So that was back in October, and I had just started taking the medication in August, the first part of September. So it hadn't really kicked in yet. Coffee says it's going to maybe take about a month or two before I even start noticing the medication. So like now, I have noticed, but I still get the tingling, the purple fingers, the purple toes, where, you know, but my toes and stuff go numb, but my whole feet have not been like that since October, totally numb, where I don't feel myself walking. So that's been a good part on me. You know, I look at that as A+, because a lot of medication does not work that they give me. And like he said, you know, we're gonna keep taking the medicine for a year to see, is it actually, you know, is it helping, you know, anymore? Because if it is, then I'll be taking it. But you, like I said, you have to document stuff for yourself. You know, take care of yourself, you know. And for months, don't let no doctor tell you, oh, this cannot happen. That's why I always tell everybody, document them, write it black and white. If they see it, they can't deny, oh, okay. But it's something new to them, because most of these doctors are all about textbooks, what they learned in the textbooks when they was in medical school. But our bodies are not like the medical school books, because we are human beings. So people bodies do different things. Everybody body do different things, you know. Because he was asking me, so do you get the butterfly rash in the face? No, I get it on my back and in my chest. And I never get it in the face. And I had my phone and I pulled it up and I showed him. He's like, oh, okay. So, you know, everybody's body is different. Because like you said, he never seen the butterfly rash on somebody's face or somebody's back before. It's always, you know, on their chest or their back. It's always in the face. So now, you know, he can say, oh, well, there's more places where you can get this rash. You know, there's more places where you can get these bruises, you know, the, you know, these flare-ups, other than, you know, just on your forearm or in your face, because mostly everybody that have lupus gets some type of rash, but it's always on their arm, legs, or in their face. But by me having lupus SLE, mine's come wherever it wants to come. It has a mind of its own. Because the SLE part of lupus is the worst part of lupus. That means it attacks everything. And it attacks my organs first. Where a lot of people, they get lupus and it takes years before they start attacking their organs. For me, it attacked my organs right off the bat. So, and it progressed really fast. And since I've been on the chemo, it helps slow down the rheumatoid arthritis, where, you know, I'm not having surgery every 2 years. It's, you know, the last surgery I had was, before I had this last surgery, was in 2019. So, you know, it's been about 4 or 5 years. And that's good for me, because normally I have a major surgery, joint surgery, every 2 years, or, you know, every 6 months I'm having a surgery. But, you know, I'm blessed and thankful and grateful that I'm getting to that point where I don't have to go under the knife as much as I used to. But I have to see my internal medicine doctor next month. And it's probably going to be before then, because I'm having so much problem with my left hip. And when I walk, it hurts. When I sit, it hurts. When I lay, it hurts. It's getting it to that point now that it's bothering me even more than it used to. And I'm thinking, from me having that fall in October, but when I went down the stairs, I braced myself to the right, and I didn't stop myself with my right hand because I had just had surgery on my hand. And it was like 2 weeks after I had the surgery when I fell down the stairs. But I didn't think nothing of my hip on my left side or anything like that. And for the last 2 months, it's been giving me problems. And it's getting worse. So I'm trying to hold out until I get to go see him next month. But if it keeps hurting the way it is, I'll be calling and making an appointment to go in to see him early, so he can send me in and have some x-rays done. And plus, I'm up for a bone density test anyway this year, so we can get that done and out the way and see, because I go every year or every 2 years to have a bone density. And the last one I had was 3 years ago. So yeah, I'm due for another one. And the one before that, it was done like a year and a half before the one I had done, the last one done. And my bones are completely just, I'm steady shrinking. Just put it like that, I'm shrinking. I used to be 5'9". I'm now at 5'5". Yeah, they say I'm still at 5'5". So, but I don't know how far I am now, because like I said, you know, and I don't know how much damage I did to my hip, because now my lower back hurts. You know, I can't do a lot of standing or a lot of walking. So, but I do the best I can, and I keep moving. I don't dwell on what should have been. I'm just grateful that I'm here and blessed that I'm able to continue to be able to walk the little distance that I do walk, or some people can't walk. You know, I know what it is to be bedridden because I was there back in 2009. In 2008 and 2009, I was bedridden. So I know what that is, where you have to have somebody to bathe you, clean you, do everything for you. I'm not looking to go back that direction right now, because I'm looking forward to moving forward in my life, to enjoy my life, you know. And I just had a birthday a week ago, Friday, and I, you know, it's that I want to live, I want to enjoy my life, you know. I'm very grateful and blessed that I was able to see another birthday, and thankful that I'm still here. And I don't know what my Heavenly Father have in store for me, but I know that if everything that's going on with me, these illness stuff, I know that He can cure me. But He's a lesson that He want me to learn, and a lesson He want me to teach others, that no matter what you're going through, no matter how many trials and tribulations He put you through, hold your head up and walk straight with a smile on your face. Don't never feel like, oh, woe me, because that oh, woe me ain't gonna get you no more than more illness, depression, that you don't want. You want to live. Sometimes it's hard for me to smile, but then after I read a couple of scriptures in the Bible and stuff, then I'm good to go. After I sit and talk to my Heavenly Father, I'm good to go. But you gotta have that mindset that you want to live, that you want to fight for what you're going through. Because if you don't, it will take you away quicker than you want it to. Because your body will start attacking you faster, and you be trying to figure out why, because you in disbelief that, okay, I don't understand this. No, we all don't understand. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I look at it that it's a reason that God got me going through this. And I consider myself to be a very strong person to be able to deal with this. Because sometimes, like I say, I get discouraged and frustrated. But I have to think, okay, this is something that's have to be done. And I hope it helps someone to understand, to understand where I'm coming from. Because dealing with any type of illness is hard on itself. Just one. But when I got 5-6 more, you know, illness, to the point that I don't know what the next thing, what the next blood work gonna say I have. I just pray and keep my fingers crossed that they gonna come back and tell me, oh, you got something else. Because when I found out I had colon cancer, that was a setback for me for a minute. I had to think about it and absorb it and move on. And then they came and told me, oh, you got osteoporosis. Okay, I had to absorb that. That was two more illness add on to the 5 that I already had from the get-go. So now I have 7. I have to be tested every year to make sure the colon cancer haven't came back. I had surgery for that also. and they check and monitor my osteoporosis. That's in my neck. So, like I said, if you just lucky to have one disease that's holding you down, just think about other people out there that got more than what you're going through. Because you only dealing with one spectrum of this is what's happening. Where I have to wonder, when is my kidney going to fail? When am I going to go on dialysis? I don't worry about that no more, but at first I was. When am I going to have liver problems? I don't worry about that. I just leave all that in God's hand. Because He the only one knows what He wants you to go through and how much He wants you to go through. Me, personally, I'm going through a lot. But I'm grateful and I'm very thankful and humble that I am. Yes, I was a wild child when I was growing up, as my older brother called me, wild child. But people change. When I had my first child, my son, I changed. I'm looking at this tiny baby. Well, he wasn't tiny because he weighed 10, 13. And his face is like, this child is depending on me to take care of him. And then when I had my daughter, I felt the same way. This child is depending on me to take care of her. And it was a struggle. I had to do it without their father's help. And then I remarried, thought I had married someone that was going to help me. It didn't work out. So yeah, I end up being a single mom, a divorcee twice, and raised my kids. And I put them first. No matter what, I put them before their father because they needed someone to be there for them, to guide them in the right direction, to help them. My second husband, I put him before them, for him. Because I wanted my kids to understand, no matter who is in my life, it's not going to stop me from being your mom. I'm going to be there for you. I always had my kids, made them feel that no matter what's going on with them, they can come and talk to me. And I still tell them that, and they've grown. They're in their 30s, and I still tell them, if there's something you need to talk about, you can talk to your mama. So, I'm just saying, don't let your illness stop you from living. Try to live the best life that you can with your circumstances. God, I don't know what your circumstances is, but hold your head up, put a smile on your face, straighten your back, and walk tall and proud. God, I do. And like I said, when I get in my depressed mood, I sit and I pray and I talk to my Heavenly Father. And to the point that, okay, this last time I got really depressed and I talked to my doctor and he put me on antidepressant for 2 months. And since I have stopped taking them, I'm fine. I don't have those, thoughts of why, and crying. It was mostly crying all the time. It was like a crying depression for me because I'm hurting, and sometimes it feel like don't nobody understand what I'm going through, what I'm saying, and then you have people always say, oh, don't look like nothing wrong with you, she's just faking it. That hurts. Because you don't know what people are going through. Their body might look good on the outside, but you don't know what's going on the inside of them. So you can't judge a book by its cover, because you don't know what's inside that cover until you open it up and see for yourself. That's how I feel. So a lot of times when you get a lot of negative people talking and, you know, and you hear the whispers and the stares and stuff, that's a lot to try to deal with when you're trying to be a positive person, especially me when I'm positive. So a lot of times I get my crystals, I take a crystal bath, I take a salt bath to ground myself, because all the negative energy of people throwing out there at you, that's not good neither mentally for you. You gotta have a strong mind, because your body is weak, but you need a strong mind to be able to deal with all the other BS out there from other people. Because I see it. I deal with it. I went into a grocery store, me and my daughter, parked the car in the handicap zone, and I have a handicap sticker, legally handicap sticker. I gets out the car, goes in the store. My daughter's still sitting in the car on the passenger side. She calls me, she's like, "Mama, you need to come outside. Police want to talk to you." For what? I'm shopping. So I had to put all my stuff down, leave the buggy, go outside, and pacify this woman, because she was mad because she couldn't get that handicap spot that I pulled into. She gonna tell me, "Oh, she put the handicap sticker up when she got ready to get in. She didn't have it up at first." Okay. By law in the state of Florida, you're not supposed to ride around with your handicap sticker hanging from your rear mirror all the time. It tells you remove before you drive. So I'm following the rules of the road and the laws, and but you want to get mad because you couldn't get that handicap spot. But you don't even have a handicap sticker or a plate. But you're complaining about me, saying I don't look like I'm handicapped. It doesn't matter what I look like, but my doctor filled it out, and it's registered, legally registered. So that's what I'm saying. People don't, they want to judge you, but they don't know you. And that's something that people need to stop doing when it comes to other people's lives. Because I could have been done with my shopping, got in my car and left, and somebody else could have got that spot. But then I had to go back in the store and start all over again, because of some ignorant person wants to feel that I'm taking up a space that I don't need. If I didn't need the space, I wouldn't have a handicap sticker. Because I was parked closer to the door where I can't walk that far without gasping for air, but I don't need this. And then plus I had my oxygen in the back seat. So how do I not, you know, need the parking space? The oxygen is for me as needed when I'm out and about. And if I needed it when I got out of my car, then yes, I would have put it on. But at that time I didn't need it. But when I came back out there to deal with that, I had to get it and go back in the store because I was out of breath dealing with somebody else's problem that they try to make it my problem. All in my business, should have just stayed in their lane and get out of my lane and leave me alone. But that's what I'm saying. People don't know. And then they want to sit up and talk to sin about what they don't know. Because I tell them, quick, you don't know what my body going through. Yes, I might not look it on the outside, but yes, I am sick. So, mind your business. Now, if you want to know what's going on with me, ask me. I'd be glad to tell you. I will give you my Facebook page, my podcast, and you can listen for yourself. That's what I tell a lot of them, because I don't have time for the drama. Because I'm a drama-free person. I don't like drama. So, and that's not good for your health anyway, especially if you're sick. You don't need that. You don't need all that. You just need to be able to live a normal, peaceful life and enjoy it. That's somebody criticizing you or judging you for being who you are. You know, and it's hard sometimes. I know it is. I know a lot of people out there get judged all the time. You know, yes, a lot of, you know, people are like, oh, I don't think there's nothing wrong with them. You don't know that. You're not in that person's body. You know, and then you're just taking up for people. No, I'm not. It's because I'm in the same predicament they are in. You look at me, you don't know that I'm sick unless I tell you. So you can't judge a book by its cover, people. Come on, let's get real and keep it real. So stop judging each other. Let's start being helpful and respectful to one another. If you're sick or not, either way, still be respectful and helpful to one another. Love your human beings. Let's all of us try to love one another. No matter what. No matter what color you are or nothing. All this drama, it needs to stop. Because life is too short. And I'm planning on enjoying the rest of the life that I have on this earth. And I'm not going to let nobody take that away from me. And I hope my listeners, don't y'all let nobody take that away from you all. Live your lives. If you have to stop and check a person, check them. Get them told and keep it moving. I'm quick to mind your business. Because I am not going to sit here and dwell in your foolishness. I'm not going to let you put that negativity on me. I try to keep myself grounded, able, and keep going. And a smile on my face. And again, I'd like to thank all of you all for listening and sharing my podcast. And again, another happy new year to you all. And I'm looking forward to be moving forward in 2024. Namaste.